It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
So great to have SC Wild back for another year here on Sports Talk as we roll into 2025. We welcome in Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. He's going to have a special guest in just a moment. But I have a question for the Major once we welcome him in officially for 2025. And I hope you had a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year, sir.
Absolutely. It's great to be here for the New Year's show. Had a great Christmas, great Happy New Year, safe New Year, and we're into the new year now. Here we go. Today, we're going to be talking about waterfowl with the influx of colder weather that's hitting us today and in the coming days. A little bit of a wintry mix for the upstate looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So we're preparing for that in all aspects, from getting ready to assist with roads, conditions, and things like that, like we always do. It looks like most of this is going to be above 85, the 85 yeah. car, but before, that's where we are right now.
Before you get into that and with your guest, I actually had somebody ask me a question between our last show and tonight. It was a couple of weeks ago, actually, and so this is our first time, and I saved the question for tonight. And the question sure. has to do with, and help me with the terminology, baiting of the fields. And so this person said, obviously he listens to the show, listens to the SC Wild. He wanted to know why it's, help me here now, legal to bait fields for like dove hunting and the like, but you can't do it for deer hunting. Am I right? Am I stating that right?
You can do it for deer hunting. You can't do it for dove hunting.
That's it. Okay. Why?
That's it. So with deer, you can bait because doves and waterfowl, or ducks, geese, swans, all those, they are all cover under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. Those are it's Migratory Bird Regulations. So they're federally protected because they fly between across different states. So deer are our South. That's our South Carolina deer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's our species here. We can set rules for those species in this state as far as, you know, as far as so you can bait for those, whatever. Doves and ducks, geese, are migratory birds. They travel throughout the United States, through various states, to come to here and then on to other states, potentially. They are covered by federal law. And the Migratory Bird Regulations guidelines do not allow for the placement of foodstuffs, that's what the definition of bait is, out on a field. Now, there are some differences between dove field preparation, or hunting doves, and hunting waterfowl. So for doves, or which are migratory birds, but doves, you can manipulate. So the difference between waterfowl and doves is the word manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into a cornfield, standing corn, and you can bush hog it, scatter the corn, you can mow it, chop it, burn it, rake it, whatever you want to do to it. As long as it was grown on the field and you don't add to it, you can do whatever you want to it. You can mulch it, burn it, like I said, mow it, chop it, you know, burn it, whatever. That is called manipulation, and that is allowed for a hunter to do to prepare a field for hunting migratory bird for doves. Waterfowl is not allowed the same privilege. You cannot manipulate the crop to allow it to be easier for birds to get to. That's what manipulation really does. When you're mowing corn down, when you're chopping it, when you're going out there with a shredder, with a chipper, and you're chipping that corn up into smaller pieces, it's making it easier for the birds to eat. That's allowed to do for doves, not for waterfowl. For waterfowl, the only thing you can do is plant a crop and flood it, and you can hunt them over that, or you can hunt them over a field where the crop has been harvested in a normal agricultural operation, as in if they've cut a cornfield, and basically harvested a cornfield, and the stubble that's left and the little bit of waste grain that may be there, that's not considered baiting. That is a natural, a normal harvest operation. You can hunt waterfowl over that or geese over that. You cannot, however, hunt them over a dove field where you have cut corn down, cut sunflowers, what have you, that's been grown in the field. You cannot hunt waterfowl over such a field, geese, ducks. So that's the big difference.
Gotcha. Hope he is listening and understands now. We've got your guest standing by if you want to roll into that.
All right. Well, Molly, I want to recognize Molly. Thanks for coming back with the show with us tonight. She is our statewide waterfowl project leader and our all things, all-knowing, all-seeing eye, if it were, as it were, for waterfowl in South Carolina. Molly, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, Major Downer. Thanks for having me on again.
Always a pleasure to have you. I was looking at the reports, and before we start, Kyle, folks like to hear what was the last, you know, on our Category 1 areas, which are the areas that folks put in the draw for, last Category 1 results. Looks like the top area for that was Cedar Island at 4.8 ducks per man. I know you love that, Phil. 4.8 ducks per man. The total harvest there as far as the number one bird in the bag in that area was, looks like green-winged teal there. Number two would have been mottled duck and then followed very closely by blue-winged teal and some shovelers. The number two area at 4.5 ducks per man was the Cape. Leading the way there was 25. They had Gadwall. Gadwall was the top duck there. Second was Northern Pintail, and I heard a lot of folks that have gone there and Murphy Island have gotten their pintail limit very easily. So really good ducks, looks like there. And then right behind that, shovelers and then some American widgeon in the mix. Past that, things drop off pretty steadily. Looks like Bear Island did fair, green-winged teal being the top duck there, followed by blue-winged teal and the mottled duck, which was actually high. Looks like the mottled duck take at Bear Island was better than anywhere else the last hunt. So that's interesting. So if you were looking for a mottled duck, that you may have never taken that species, the mottled duck was very high at Bear Island, at Springfield specifically. Molly, what are you seeing on the coast with this wintry weather as we look at this cold weather pushing in?
You know, a lot of excitement among duck hunters along the coast. You know, Georgetown County is especially looking pretty good. I was traveling today and crossed over the Santee Delta right about sunset. Saw a good group of 200 or 300 green wings crossing over Highway 17 and headed toward the ocean. So birds are moving around. Hopefully this front keeps some birds in our area and maybe pushes us some fresh birds. But a lot of excitement. Like I said, Santee Coastal Reserve area is looking really, really well. A good suite of species there. If you're looking for a good mixed bag, there's a lot of birds moving around the Santee Delta and around Santee Coastal Reserve. So green-winged teal are really prevalent right now. We might have a little bit of a pintail problem. I don't know if you can call it a pintail problem. That's what we'll call it, since you can only shoot one. You know, there are plenty of them around, and so you got to be pretty mindful. Be careful picking your birds out when you get a group of a dark birds in front of you. Be careful you don't knock down a pintail hen and mistake it for a gadwall or something else. So, but a lot of birds moving around, a lot of excitement, and you know, a lot of excitement among hunters for what this cold push is going to bring us on the coast and inland. So,
absolutely, Molly. You know, I was talking to one of our officers or our lieutenants just today about their hunt. He got drawn, puts in for the draw hunts. He got drawn. I think they went to Murphy, and he was telling me it was unreal. They all got their pintail in it real quick. And he said the rest of the hunt, they had to be very careful because he said green wings were dumping in and they really weren't shooting those. But when the green wings would dump in, gadwall would follow them. And then pintails were just dropping on top of that. He said, so anytime they shot in the group, they had to be very careful because their pintail drakes were everywhere. And
exactly.
That is, what a problem to have, to say, I can't shoot in this group because there's too many tuxedos in the group.
That's right. That's right. That makes for a great morning when you've got a nice brig in the bag and you get to sit back and watch the show. But got to be a little careful on those mornings for sure. So,
absolutely.
Good problem.
So Phil, absolutely, Phil, you're not probably understanding this, but the pintail's kind of a trophy as far as a bird. They're just, you don't get to see them a lot in a lot of places, but when you do see them, they're just one of the really beautiful bird, nice table fare, but they have a very long tail. that a lot of, nicknamed sprigs, but they have that long tail feather, really long neck. They have a white line that goes up the side of their neck with a beautiful brown face. Blue bill, it's a really pretty duck, very long and slender in flight. They look like little boomerang wings. And but they, a lot of folks know them tuxedo mallards because they were really not. It just, they look like they're dressed up for a nice date night. But we have a lot of those this year. Molly, what's the word on, what is it? Is just pintails, is it our area, the coast, the rice, is it that pintails have just done really well in the breeding grounds?
Well, you know, I don't think pintails have really improved or declined too much on the breeding grounds. They are kind of a bird that we're kind of watching and a little concerned with as biologists, but, you know, pintails really like big open water type settings. You know, you see them a lot if you hunt the Mississippi Flyway or out in the Central Flyway. You like to see them in these big open water, but really shallow settings. And I think our coastal wetlands do a really good job of kind of mimicking those habitats, those areas that those birds want to be in. And I tell you, it's pretty special when you get a group of them in front of you. But, you know, Santee Coastal Reserve in the last few years has been an exceptional spot for pintails in particular. So really cool bird. You know, they harvest, majority of pintails in the Atlantic Flyway are harvested in North Carolina. But it seems that, you know, in recent years, we're picking up more and more here in the South Carolina coast. So I know for South Carolina hunters, that's really exciting.
Well, and I'm gonna ask you another question about pintails for a minute, but just for a moment. You know, the pintail limit's one this year. It was two not that many years ago. I have to believe that one limit, the limit, reducing the limit to one, is helping us see a good number of birds too.
So possibly so, you know, and I think we've got some pretty interesting things coming up with pintail limits next year across the U.S. And so done some recent, Fish and Wildlife, done some recent reworking of kind of how we set our pintail limits with some new research we've got of pintails on the breeding grounds, and you know, there's a chance that they're doing a lot better than we think they are, and can support more harvest than we're currently harvesting right now. So you may see that pintail bag go up next year, Major.
That'd be really cool. So as far as the bag limits in South Carolina, one of the kind of the bonus duck, or the duck that you can always count on here, is the wood ducks. We've always had that. We're at a three duck limit. You don't see that changing in the year to in the recent years, or is there any word on that? Because there has been some people that have been concerned about wood ducks moving from that two to three duck limit.
Yep, that is something that I hear from hunters every now and then. They're, you know, a little concerned with that increase in bag limit. We've been sitting there now for, I would say, probably 12 years or so. But based off of what we see from our population surveys and our harvest surveys, you know, our harvest of wood ducks has gone up in South Carolina and throughout the Southeast, but we're harvesting at a sustainable rate. And, you know, I think most of the time, if you find good water in our backwater swamps, you tend to find those pockets of wood ducks. But once we kind of see them really get pressured throughout the end of November and December, you know, they tend to change patterns a little bit here in early January. You got to look for them a little more. Once we educate them a little bit, they get a little smarter and start hiding a little more from us. So pretty typical, I think, to hear hunters talk about a decline in wood duck numbers right about this time of the season. But a lot of times, too, you get early January and those wood ducks start moving around on us a little bit. Our local birds will kind of push out into other areas, and we'll start getting birds in from other areas. It's pretty interesting to watch the band returns. Usually about this time of year, we start seeing more wood ducks that were banded in other states harvested in South Carolina. So just picking up a little natural movement on those birds this time of year. So
absolutely, and that's why a lot of folks have never understood why for the longest time our wood duck season was really influenced heavily in the Flyway Council by the northern states, who were very protective of their birds when they got here.
That's,
I think,
correct.
People don't understand that. So talking about banding for a minute, we've talked about banding on and off throughout the years, but banding of waterfowl, particularly wood ducks, is used to track, migration movements, do some population, a little bit of population studies there. Wood ducks probably been one of those most more common banded ducks across the flyway. I know we do a lot of that here, still looking for areas to do some, I know late summer and early fall banding, we've done a little bit of that, looking for more areas. But wood ducks, typically, when you get a band return, folks sometimes don't understand this. I do want to mention this. You used to see, they'd say, oh, that bird came from Maryland. Well, no, it didn't come from Maryland. The bird banding office used to be in Laurel, Maryland, and that's what all the bands had on them. That didn't mean that's where it was banded. That's where the bird band office is. And the I think the bird band office has moved back to Washington. Is that correct?
Yep. Right outside of Washington, D.C. now. So, but still in Patuxent, Maryland.
So if your band says Washington, D.C. or Maryland, it doesn't mean the bird came from Maryland. That's where the bird banding office is. And the best way to report a band now, honestly, is on your phone. You can go to the app, link there, and report your bird, and they will tell you on the link immediately. It'll tell you where that bird was banded, what the age was, if it was a hatch year or a new, born this year, or what they call AHY, after hatch year, which means it's an adult bird. So you know it's at least 1 to 2 years old. You don't know past that. Folks, if you do shoot a band or find a band on a bird, please report that band. It's important information to record. Don't forget, I know people talk, they get excited about bands, and sometimes they put them on their duck call lanyard and they forget to report them. And that's doing a disservice to the whole process, because we need those band returns to know and to learn more about wintering waterfowl as they move about. So, and I will say this too, there's been some ringneck studies and some things where they've had trackers on the birds, as far as a satellite tracker on the bird with a radio, with a antenna. If you find one of those on your birds, again, don't freak out. They'd like to know the information on where the bird was taken. Those pieces of information, they want to know where that's at. So report that. Don't hide it. It's not something you've done something wrong. But it does help in the process of keeping this study going. Molly, that pretty much summed that up.
That's it. It's usually a pretty good prize when you shoot a banded bird with a transmitter on it too. So everybody usually
Absolutely.
Gets pretty excited and will usually get you a transmitter back that you can mount your bird if you want to. So
absolutely. I will say this too. There are some still fewer, but there are money bands out there that they've put on certain species to promote returning that band or giving that reporting that band, and the money bands actually would reward you at $50, $100, and I don't know how many of those are still out there, but there have been a few over the last few years that have been taken, not as much, but that was something they've done in the past years to kind of stimulate people to report those band returns by giving you a little bit of money in your pocket if you did. So I know those are out there somewhat.
Pretty important stuff. Like I said, most recent reward band study was done on black ducks and on mallards. And so, like I say, if you harvest one of those birds, you'll get a call from someone from the bird band and lab wanting to know where to send you a check. So important information, and it helps us determine birds that are harvested. It helps us get a good percentage of how many people actually report their bands, which now with online reporting is actually approaching close to 90-95%. So online reporting is good for a lot of things, and especially for reporting your banded ducks. So
absolutely, because in the past it used to be 30%. So that's great news that more band returns are being reported. So I will mention this. I went to New Jersey last month, had a good time, enjoying some really pristine black duck hunting. It's a lot of fun up there. And New Jersey is known for black ducks. They got a 2 black duck limit, and they have a really pretty healthy population of black ducks. Here in South Carolina, we still do see black ducks. On the coast, Molly, you're on the coast, Georgetown County. Are black ducks prevalent there, or do you think those are more inland?
I see a good many black ducks inland, on the coast. I probably see more black ducks on the coast than I do inland, but my little bias there, I spend more time on the coast around more duck hunters on the coast than I do inland, so... But I'm seeing this year, I'm seeing a good many black ducks coming in, our lottery hunt along with model ducks. So both of those, are very prized. And, if you find you a good backwater mallard hole in a swamp inland, especially with kind of weather we've got coming in, black ducks are not, definitely a special prize, but not unheard of. So.
Absolutely. So speaking about black ducks, they typically have always been a really, a lucid bird. They kind of stay off to themselves. They're really wary. That's just what they're known for. How would you compare that to the model duck as far as the behavior?
The behavior of both is pretty similar. Those model ducks too kind of like to stay off to themselves. You got to think those model ducks are really hanging out in the same habitats year round. They kind of know those little pockets and those those secretive places that they really want to be. So the best way I've found to kill model ducks is really getting their flight line. And I know I chased my black duck for a long time before I put one on the water. And so you really got to have good technique, good tactic to them. And it may be that you know to get your black duck. That's what you got to focus on. So, but there's always that special morning where they like to light in with the mallards. But typically, like you said, both black ducks and model ducks, very similar, like to hang out by themselves. Don't like to mingle with other species of birds too much. So it's one that if you're looking for, you might have to shake up your tactics a little bit.
All right, so if I was going to ask you, what do you think the most elusive duck to get in South Carolina is? What would you say?
The most elusive of all of them. You know, I know I chased my black duck for a long time. There were many mornings where I sat out with a pair of black duck decoys and tried to do something special and finally made it happen. But, you know, there's a lot of ducks that, you know, people chase, specifically in South Carolina. You know, occasionally you'll get an eider through. Which is really special for our coastal hunters. You'll hear one or two of those every year. But, you know, a lot of people are really kind of pursuing their the black-bellied whistling ducks, too. They're a neat bird. They like to get up and out of places, it seems, right before shooting light. And so it's hard to catch your black belly. You really got to get in the flight line. But once you're in them, you're in them. So those are ones I hear people really chasing and kind of pursuing lately.
That's a good point. Prairie ducks were not a native to South Carolina until – recent years. I know we've got a population of black bellies now that are nesting here. Is that correct?
That is correct. We do have some nesting black bellies and a really neat bird, really expanding their range throughout the U.S. You'll hear reports of them in New Jersey and all the way to Maine and even up in the Great Lakes in the summer. So those birds are really, really doing some neat things and expanding their range. But pretty common to see them now on the coast, especially in the breeding season throughout the summer, but we keep a few of them in the winter too.
Now the black bellies, did we not do a little bit of a banding effort on those in recent years?
If we catch them in the summer and the fall, we'll put standard leg bands on them, but their harvest rates tend to be really low. So we'll put plastic color bands on them during special research projects, which we have participated in about the past 5 years. And so those color bands make it easier for bird watchers and other people to kind of see and spot those color bands. They got a 3 or 4 alphanumeric code on them, and you can also report those to the bird banding lab. Helps us keep track of where those birds are going and moving around, since they just don't tend to be harvested by hunters too much. So those color bands really help us get more information and help us learn more about what that particular species is doing as they're kind of expanding their range and the things that they're doing here in the continental U.S. So,
absolutely. So really, in South Carolina, model ducks, the black-bellied whistling duck, are ducks that we're monitoring kind of outside the norm. Is there anything else as far as waterfowl we're monitoring in South Carolina besides those two species?
Yeah, you know, we do right now. We're participating in a flyway-wide mallard research project. So trying to catch some mallards here at the end of the season, really through February, and put some satellite transmitters on to kind of look at movements and places that those birds are going and look at nesting and survival of really mallards throughout the flyway. So kind of last year, we're in our fourth year of that study, but a big flyway-wide effort. So if anybody's interested, you can look up Eastern Mallard Migration Studies and follow along with us there for kind of more specifically what birds that are marked in South Carolina are doing when they leave here in the winter and they go to the breeding grounds. So pretty
really
neat
cool.
stuff.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Molly, thanks for joining us again tonight. I know we're fixing to wrap up, Phil. It's going to be real cold the next few nights for Friday, Saturday. Going to be some snow in some places, some ice. Please be careful if you're on the roads. And if you're going to hunt in icy conditions in a boat, be very careful. Make sure, again, always tell somebody where you're going, when you plan to return. Be specific about where you're going. And if you get in trouble, call immediately. Let somebody know. But again, always follow that float plan before you go out there on the water, particularly on cold mornings like this. And dress in layers. Have a life jacket. Never forget that. Remember, it's always warmer, even if it feels like it. If you fall out of a boat, it's warmer in the water, out of the water, than in the water. Get on top of that boat. Get as least exposed as you can. But have a safe weekend. Hope folks can enjoy some duck hunting and maybe a little snow.
Major, Molly, thank y'all so much. And talk to you in a couple of weeks, Major. We appreciate it. Major Billy Downer, SC Wild. At the half, Alabama leading South Carolina 45-28. Have a great night. Talk all about it with you tomorrow night here on Sports Talk.